The NBA's commissioner speaks out as an international sports row heats up. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Speaking at a press conference in Tokyo moments ago, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said the league will not regulate what players, employees, and team owners say or don't say on any issue.
The long-held values of the NBA are to support freedom of expression. Daryl Morey, as the general manager of the Houston Rockets, enjoys that right. What I also try to suggest is I understand there are consequences from that.
His remarks come after China's state broadcaster today said it'll block all NBA preseason games from being broadcast in the country, and after celebrities dropped out of promotional events this week. Simon Chadwick, professor of sports enterprise at the University of Salford, explains why one tweet morphed into a problem for the entire league.
In some ways, it's mimicking the more general relationship between the United States and China right now. And it is almost as though we're getting a sports trade war in some respects. Chinese consumers are predisposed towards boycotting either goods, brands, companies, countries that have said or done things which people believe are against Chinese national interest.
Do you think we'll see sponsors dropping out or fans, as you said, boycotting games or even merchandise?
Effectively, what the uproar is all about is you either support what China is doing or you don't. And so for sponsors and for commercial partners, this is so hard to read because whilst obviously North American sponsors may reserve their right to express their opinions, they are, you know, companies based in a democracy. That's what organizations and people do normally. But at the same time, that would rankle with Beijing, with government in Beijing, with China more generally, with Chinese consumers. So understanding how to read this one is hugely challenging for commercial partners. It is entirely feasible that we will see customer boycotts. Whether or not they're sustained and significant remains open to question.
Do you think it's millions of dollars at stake for the league here, at least for now?
Basketball is China's number one sport, and people spend huge amounts of money on merchandise, on going to games, on following coverage on the internet and so forth. So there's big money involved, and this is why I think we've seen the NBA move so quickly to try and defuse the situation.
Certainly a lot at stake here. Simon Chadwick, professor of sports enterprise at the University of Salford. Thank you.
Thank you.
Staying in China, the country today warned it might retaliate against the U.S. after 28 Chinese companies were added to a blacklist for allegedly being involved in human rights violations against ethnic minorities. The move is likely to inflame already high tensions between the two sides, as the BBC's Lisa Santarelli reports.
China's Hangzhou Hikvision and Zhejiang Dahua make video surveillance equipment. Megvi and iFlyTech develop facial recognition, and SenseTime is the world's most valuable artificial intelligence startup. These are some of China's biggest technology firms, and all of them have landed on the US blacklist, which means American suppliers will have to obtain a special license to keep doing business with them. The same action was used against Huawei on national security grounds. But for the first time, the US is citing internal Chinese human rights violations as a reason. Experts warn that there will be retaliation from Beijing, and the timing could not be more awkward. China's lead trade negotiator, Liu He, arrives in Washington tomorrow, and U.S. tariffs on $250 billion worth of Chinese goods rise from 25 to 30% in exactly 1 week's time. I'm the BBC's Lisa Santarelli for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Samsung shares rose more than 1% in South Korea after it said it expects third quarter profits of $6.4 billion. Meanwhile, Hong Kong Stock Exchange operator said it's dropping its $37 billion takeover bid for the London Stock Exchange. That's after the LSE roundly rejected an unsolicited offer last month. There's been increasing pressure on companies to guarantee staff are paid appropriately for the work they do. So a number of UK firms, mostly in tech, have piloted a rather dramatic idea. Why not let staff themselves decide what they earn? The BBC's Felicity Hannah reports.
Self-set pay, where workers choose their own salary, is the very latest development in pay transparency. Different businesses manage it in different ways. Most have a process where colleagues offer feedback on the salary they pick. Cecilia Manduka from the company Granttree is 25 and recently awarded herself a £7,000 pay rise. That's $8,600. But it was her colleagues who stopped her settling for less.
The first number that I proposed was on the lower scale. That's mainly because of me not thinking I was deserving of much. And that's the role that the colleagues that give you feedback should have. So they are there to make sure that you're not underselling yourself. that doesn't really happen in a normal company where you are negotiating for your salary and you're trying to get as much as you can and the other person and the other party is trying to give you as least as possible.
It's clearly working for them. Grantree's gender pay gap is just over 2%, and that is in favour of the women. But innovations like this can sometimes backfire. For example, some companies ditched unlimited holiday after realising their workers were taking less time off than before. Tom Hardman is Chief Operating Officer at Smarkets. The company has 120 staff and allows them all to set their own pay. So how does he make sure people ask for the right amount?
We've built processes around salary discussions which ensure that people who ask too little are given encouragement to ask for the correct amount, and that we can have honest discussions with people when they ask for too much.
People aren't really setting their own salaries, are they? You know, if someone says more than you are happy to pay, you're going to say no.
The no doesn't come from management. The no will come from the employees' peer group.
What if all your employees over Christmas drinks agree that they're all going to be a little bit more generous next year with each other?
So as part of any salary process, we have an honest discussion about how much cash we have in the bank and how much we can actually afford to spend on salaries.
So it's both a perk and a responsibility for staff. Setting your own salary may sound like a dream, but with great perks come great responsibilities.
The BBC's Felicity Hannah reporting there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.